Hey y'all, and welcome. Thank you once again. It's On Rock, the Petrospective. We have returned. It's good to be back talking to y'all. Dave, how's it feel to be back?
Oh, it feels great. We've had a little bit of a break. We had a little bit of a Christmas break. We hope everyone enjoyed their Christmas break. But it's fantastic. In fact, I've really enjoyed my Christmas break because for those of you who may have checked out the Facebook feed for Christmas, I got a record player and I've been listening to my Petra records on vinyl and absolutely loving it. And now I've got to chase down all the ones I don't have on vinyl.
And just to give you the best chance of getting your hands on all those, Dave, why don't you take the opportunity right now, tell all of our faithful listeners what it is you're after, and we'll get all of you guys keeping your eyes out for us for secondhand copies of these things.
And sending it to us down here in Australia.
If you just want to give it to us, yep, that's great too. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I've got Washes Wider Than, I've got Not of This World, I've got Captured in Time and Space, Back to the Street, and This Means War. Unfortunately, as we spoke of in an earlier podcast, my On Fire got melted by a friend of ours. So I'm after More Power to You, and Never Say Die, Beat the System, and On Fire. They're the key ones that I'm after. So if you're down here in Australia and you've got them and you want to give them to me, I'd love it. If you're overseas and you want to send them to me, I'd love it. Let me just go from there.
It's
all good. But I tell you what, I have absolutely no doubt that while everything that we've listened to before is good, I have no doubt that everyone is going to be enjoying that we're back. And they're going to be enjoying the album of conversation tonight because they've all entered into the conversation over the holidays and they are ready. They didn't have to think twice about it. Everyone, you are in the right place tonight. I'm telling you, you're in the right place for a great adventure.
I'm trying hard to keep up with you on these ones, Dave, but you just keep rattling them off and you're not giving me a chance. But listen, just on the off chance that over the break, some of you have forgotten why it is you listen to this, or for those of you who are joining us for the first time in a brand new year, this is The Petrospective, a podcast where two brothers from Australia gush endlessly, and I mean for hours, guys, buckle up because we're going to be here a while, about the greatest Christian rock band of all time, and that is Petra. This is the part where I get to say, I'm Lindsay Hall.
And I'm Dave Hall.
And tonight, you've probably figured it out through Dave's endless stream of Petra-related punnery. We are talking about the dawn of the third act of Petra's long and illustrious career, the album No Doubt. And well, I got to tell you, even here in the On Rock studio, this album's proven to be a little bit divisive. So this episode could get a little bit salty between my brother and I. And I anticipate there might be some of that salt seasoned amongst the Facebook conversations that are to come. And we look forward to that. We embrace it. So we would like to stand under the umbrella of grace right now and say we love one another deeply. There are no right or wrong opinions, just our reactions to the album. And as always, the ultimate caveat is this. If we're talking about something from Petra that we don't like as much as Petra's greatest stuff, we're still talking about music that is better than 90% of all other music in existence. So bad Petra in bad music.
Still good. It's still good.
And I'm not gonna get ahead of myself and say it's bad. Nothing on No Doubt is bad at all. No. Not even bad for Petra. But we'll get into a bit later where I stand with it. But Dave, we always go through this. Where does this album fall in your Petra origin? But we're pretty well versed now in the story that we know that, like the previous few, you've just been living with Petra now for quite some time in your life. You're in university at this point. You might even be near the end of your university.
I was in the middle of university. So middle this album was released in 1995. So I was in my second year at uni in 95. And I know I got it very quickly, but the biggest memory I have of the time frame of getting this was discovering that a friend of mine that I've made at uni was also a big Petra fan, and we were listening to this album. We'd drive doing some stuff together, and we'd listen to this album together. So I'm going to throw a shout out if he's listening, Johnny Hughes, a good mate of mine. This is the album that probably brought us together as Petra fans, and so that's probably the standout for me in terms of the time frame of it and what it meant when it came out.
That's really sweet. No, Jono was always a good bloke. He was one of your friends that I could handle having around the place. So, I remember this album again, like most of them, I know it because you got it. But this was one very much that I played so much of the time. By the time you got this album, you were a little more casual about leaving your albums out in shared areas of the house where I could play them without having to sneak into your room and steal anything. But I listened to this so much over the course of the couple of years after it was released. There was something, and I know what it was. There was just an element. I really wanted to love the album. I really wanted it to be something really special and transcendent. I wanted it to be like I felt when I watched The Muppets, and how The Muppets classic stuff always makes me feel great and amazing. And Muppets things always feel so special. But more recent Muppets stuff just feels a little bit not for me. And there might be a little bit of that going on with this album. The reality is it just doesn't hit there for me. Mm. But that's not, I couldn't put my finger on anyone doing anything wrong. As we see, so many of, you know, so much of the core team is still in place in this lineup.
And I think that's, the core team is still pretty well there, and yet it's a season of change. And I think that the season of change had a lot to do with how Petra began to be received and how their albums began to be viewed, because they had such success. We'd had Greg X Vols and the rise of Petra. We'd had the development of what Petra fans lovingly call the Dream Team, this era that's lasted from On Fire through to Wake Up Call. And now we've got some changes afoot. We've had, during the Wake Up Call tour, John Lowry has made a choice to move on, and he moved into more of a production realm. And so the keyboard spot was assumed by his keyboard technician, Jim Cooper. So we've got almost the follow on there. John Lowry moved in the same way. And so we've had Jim Cooper touring for a while, and he moves into the role. We also have some return changes, I guess, because the band go back to John and Dino Elefante, and they move back and are working with them again. And I think that very quickly is very obvious in the type of sound that we're getting and the way these songs are put together. It sounds like that classic style. But I guess the biggest change was the fact that as we've spoken, and if you've missed it, we had the opportunity at the end of last year to talk to Bob Hartman, and that that interview is on our back catalogue. I encourage you to listen to it. But as everyone knows, it was while recording this album that Bob made the decision to stop touring. And I think the interesting thing for a lot of people, I know it was for me, is when the album came out, it was very well publicized that Bob had moved on or was not going to be touring anymore. But it was very much given the impression that Bob wasn't a part of the band anymore. And the album cover itself proclaims that David Litchens is the guitarist for Petra. It's his picture on the cover. He is listed as the guitarist for the band in the album, in the cover information. And I remember distinctly thinking, they've got a new guitarist. And so it clicked in my head, there must be something different. Now, we all know, and if you don't know, we're going to tell you, Bob Hartman recorded all the guitars for this album. He is the guitarist for the recording. And he's the guitarist for the recording on the next album. So David Litchens wasn't actually involved with the recording process for this album, but I think the changes of John Lowry leaving and the announcement that Bob Hartman had moved on, I think that gave a lot of people the feeling that this is not going to be Petra anymore. And so you approach the album with this idea of this is now different. This is not what I thought it was. And I wonder if that's part of that feeling that you had, Lindsay. I wonder if it ties in with maybe that feeling of the mental thought of it is, this is not Bob, this is not the Dream Team anymore. And yet it really is. And I really found listening to this, that this album is quite a good album. I actually, we'll talk about it with all the songs, but I think this is a really well put together. It really feels like Petra gets back to the roots, their roots. We've talked the last couple of albums about some of the things we didn't like about Wake Up Call and Unseen Power and how it was produced. I feel they're getting, in this album, they get back to the sound from Beyond Belief.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but you are onto something. I think it is a something of a course correction in some ways in terms of the sound and the production. Certainly you can hear there's a difference in the production quality from Wake Up Call. And I don't know, certainly, you know, I have issues in life with change. And I had issues as a young person with change. I don't like things that I like to change and become different. And, you know, yeah, like one of you bringing this album in and plunking it in front of me. And one of the first things I remember you mentioning was, we've got a new guitarist up in here. And I always had that sense of feeling wary about that. And that may have colored how I received it. But again, as you say, I mean, I've been listening to it over the last week, and this is clearly Bob Hartman on guitar. You can recognize the style. You can recognize his technique. It's him. You can also recognize, as he always does, he's pulling songwriting duty. You can recognize his approach to writing lyrics. All these qualities are there. There are some other things that they're trying that I'm not sure are quite flying. And one of them, we'll get into this and we'll tie it into our conversation about the album cover. And this is one where I don't have a whole lot to say about it. We're not going to get too wild about it. This is the grunge album, or at least it's the grunge album cover. We got fellas here in flannelette shirts, or denim jackets, or a baggy looking vest over a t-shirt. Everyone's wearing something over a t-shirt. They're all looking, you know, alternately bored or miserable off into the middle distance. We've got some weird filtered lighting and distortion and a weird lens taking the, it's a grunge album. It puts you in mind of Pearl Jam or Nirvana. It's that exact stuff. I'm going somewhere with this, Dave.
Well, I was just going to say, it's really interesting you say that, because when I had the chance to interview John Schlitt, if you haven't listened to it, go back to the back catalog. It was our last episode and it was amazing. That's exactly what John Schlitt said that they were announcing it as, that it's a grunge type album. So there was an intentional sound to it.
This is what we're about to get to. So, you know, this is one of the weird covers in that I think it has no distinct Petra personality of its own. Now, I wasn't the biggest fan of Wake Up Call's album. It was a little odd. But what I would say about that is there's something about it that was esoteric, and it was Petra. Whereas this feels like you could have swapped out any generic early to mid-90s Seattle rock band and put them in the exact same pose with the exact same filter.
I've got to agree with you on that.
And this is where I start to get into feeling a little cynical. And this is me being cynical. I'm not saying the band was cynical. But me being cynical about the approach. Bob's songwriting has always evolved. It has always changed. But there's something about it that has seemed fairly organic and natural. Just a happenstance where this is what he starts listening to. This is the music he starts writing. It never seems like a real intentional, this is what the young people are listening to now, therefore this is what I need to try and write. This album cover looks like they said, that's what the young people are buying. This is what we need to look like. In terms of ranking the album cover, I'd need to be refreshed on the bottom end of our list there.
Well, you were just talking and comparing it to Wake Up Call and how you feel Wake Up Call is a Petra album cover and this is not. Do you have it ranked below Wake Up Call?
Probably would.
Okay. So below Wake Up Call is Captured in Time and Space.
Well, it's definitely below Captured in Time and Space.
Okay, well, then that's the bottom of the list.
Okay.
That's where it sits. It comes in at the bottom of the list. And look, I don't think I can doubt you on that. Excuse the pun, but yeah, I mean, I always viewed this as the green album cover. This is the green album cover, green and yellow. And look, it is. It's just the band there. There's nothing really to it. And I don't think I can challenge anything you've said there. I think they've gone for a feel. The album cover itself might not have been as appealing, but I do think they pulled it off a little bit more with at least the style and approach to the music. Like I do think that they've at least made what they were producing more appealing, and that's got to be reflected in the fact that they were nominated for another Grammy Award for this album, for Best Rock Album, and they won a Dove Album for Best Rock Album. So it certainly was received well by the critics. Where does it rank in compared to other albums? We'll do that at the end, how we feel it compares to other albums at the end. But it certainly comes in to this album. We've got an album that was received well by critics. It was nominated for a Grammy, And not every Petra album was nominated for a Grammy, although most of the last few had been, because they've been all such a high standard. I think it's like what you said before. Even not so good Petra is still better than a lot of other stuff. And Bob Hartman's songwriting helps elevate a lot of things. And there's another good journey in this album. As I was listening to the songs, there's a lot of good journeys. The one last thing I'd like to touch on before we start looking at the songs is, maybe another thing about this album that ties in with maybe how some of the feelings you were talking about before is, this is a very collaborative album. This is not every song, words and lyrics by words and music by Bob Hartman. This is very, very band centric. Ronnie Tate's and Jimmy Cooper both contributed to several songs on this album, and we've got another guest appearance by, in terms of the words and music, by Whiteheart's Brian Wooten. So there's a lot of collaboration. It's not just all of Bob. And I think we've found in the past that when songs are collaborated or they're not written in words and music by Bob, we see that sometimes it has a different feel or it has an impact on perhaps how it's received. So that could be a part of that journey as well. And but at the same time, I think it's really positive to see that as Bob's gets the feeling, I need to move on to a different role in life, the band itself is stepping up to be in, to contribute and be a part of that. So yeah, I think there's some tie in there.
You make a good point. I say we enter into this thing, David.
One more thing before we do. The other thing I just remembered this. The other thing that might tie into how it's all received is this album was released about 3 or 4 months after John Schlitt released his first solo album.
That's right.
Shake, which we're not covering that yet, but you never know. Once we finish going through the Petra, we might have a look at some of the other things that our family of band members here have been involved in. But where I come from is there wasn't 100% focus here. It's not the sole thing that was on their agenda. John Schlitt had a solo album that he was doing, and there were tours associated with that. There were performances associated with that. So, you know, there's maybe there wasn't a complete focus on this album either.
That could be true. That could be true. I think a deeper consideration of the songs might reveal more about how this album impacts us at a deeper level. So first off is a song that I think production wise, you know, this is harkening back to, this has got something of the feel of Unseen Power to it, I feel like. Certainly there's that opening with, like, you know, it's a bit atmospheric and there's a bit of a blowing breeze, but you know, we've now got a very sort of Southern rock or Seattle rock opening rather than a really heavy driving faux metal rock. But I find the lyrics to this song fascinating. Really, really odd duck sort of lyrics. You know, it's just not the kind of thing you think to sing about. And also not the type of mood of a song that you would expect to marry with these particular lyrics. I don't know. What do you think about that, Dave?
I really like the lyrics to this song. It's like you said, it's not maybe not the feel you'd expect, but the message is so powerful. We're getting the image of what it was that occurred through the crucifixion, the fact that the history of the faith journey was the priest was the one who made sacrifices on behalf of the people, but then Jesus dies on the cross and it opens the opportunity, and Bob paints the picture of that journey, the priest through to the crucifixion, the temple veil gets torn in two, we know that it opens up the way to have a relationship one-on-one with God. And I really like the message of it is about entering into God. We can come to God ourselves one-on-one. We don't have to go through anyone to do it. It really does have a very interesting feel to it because the verse really crams in a lot of lyrics very quickly, really crams it together. And then the verse, the chorus backs it off a little bit. And, you know, we sort of slow down a little bit lyrically in the chorus, not stylistically and not rhythmically, but but lyrically we back it off into the chorus and it becomes quite a bit more simplified. And then he picks it up again for the second verse. So yeah, there's some real interesting dynamics there.
Yeah, I agree. I love the build of the song. It's a really solid rock build. From the first half part of the verse to the pre-chorus part, and then into the chorus, and you're ramping up. You know, it's that sense of we're building up to something, to a crescendo of sound and of emotion and energy. Mm. They really do. And when you reach that, we can enter in, and everyone comes in, sort of screaming it out there. It's a really well built song. I'm certainly going to say that.
I agree.
Perfect mixing of the band for this one.
It is, and it really builds the band. Like Bob's, like you said, there's this nice strong guitar, a little bit different style, but a strong guitar lead that plays throughout the verse. But when they pre-chorus, everyone starts to pick up. If you listen to that chorus, Ronnie is rocking on the bass. He is really pumping and playing really well. And then Jim Cooper's keys are quite strong. They're not overpowering, but they're supplementing it. They're supplementing the sound. And then you move into, as always, it's great that we get a guitar solo on that first song. And it's a good guitar solo to start off the journey. Very, very, very technically strong and very, very well put together. And it really feels like they're trying to get back to that stronger rock sound. Like you said, it's probably maybe a bit more of a grungy feel to it, but they are really trying to get back to that sound of the guitar drive and the other instruments supplementing that versus what we got last album.
I can see that might be what they're going for. I think this, it becomes more evident in the next couple of songs. It's a near miss in that regard, because the reality is the production quality in mixing the band is just too high. It's just too good. And the inclusion of some different sound effects and some stuff with the keys particularly just lend an atmosphere to the sound that just isn't grunge. Like grunge was cheap and messy. It was an evolution of punk rock. It was for people who didn't know how to play their instruments.
This is almost a little bit more southern rock, this song.
Yes, very
much. Song's more southern rock. And it's really quite strong.
It is. It's, I mean, in this, you know, I can really see the link there between this and Third Day.
Yes.
For example, like I can see a line stretching that, you know, that connects these two points. But look, great way to open an album. You got my attention. That is for sure.
It's probably their best opening since we had Armed and Dangerous on Beyond Belief.
Oh, you were better than the Unseen Power opening? Better than Destiny?
Yeah, look, maybe not. Okay, maybe I'm going to have to think twice about that.
Yes, well,
I think that like you said, the production, I think the driving and the guitar sounds on those two songs are probably more powerful. But what we're getting from the whole band, I think there's a better coming together there. There's more inclusive. I think maybe that's where I'm coming from.
Okay, I can see that. Well, since we're in the vicinity of thinking twice, I'd like to take a moment to embarrass the two of us before we get into the song. So my key memory of this song, you and I, when we were younger, one of our safe areas of connecting and bonding was a shared affection for the WWE, as it was known at the time. And even though you were in university and I was well into high school at that point, we weren't too old to have a wrestle every now and then. But folks, when David and I wrestled, we didn't just like go at it and do a few moves in the living room. No, we made a production out of it. We had entrances and theme music and posing to the crowd. And Dave, I don't know if you recall, this was your theme music for a while. This was your theme music for a while. I do. I remember that.
Oh, dear. I think we've just lost half of our listeners now. They're like,
for a few bucks, guys, I'll open a Patreon page and I will let you know what David's wrestling name was too. So, but you're going to have to pay up.
Oh, dear.
All right. Think twice. This is something that is very clearly different. Petra doing something different. Just the way that this one opens. When you get to the guitar riff by Bob, it's kind of familiar territory. But the way that they've got that opening beat, Louis pounding on the drums there.
Louis's got a drum thing going. It's a very good. He's doing a very good job.
It's really good. And I'm sure that there's some pad work in that out. There's some drum machine supplementing what he's doing. But we got this really, really good kind of a march, kind of a rock march going on. When you launch into the lyrics, look, maybe there is something to grunge about this, because to one level, you know, I always felt the lyrics felt like a bit of a rush of nonsense at first. I can recognize on reflection that the message is actually very clear. But it's just this kind of sub, like assault of John Schlitt's vocals that just kind of launch you into this song, which is about, really just resisting temptation.
Yeah. Yeah. Bob writes in the More Power to You devotional that's exactly, there is a moment of time for each of us when faced with temptation that we contemplate whether or not to sin. And this song challenges us to think twice, to realize the ramifications of our choices. That's the message. And you just nailed it. And I think that's it. And it's a good flow on, because if we're entering into the presence of God, if we want that one-on-one relationship that we've just talked about in the first song, then the flow on from that is we need to be alert to the choices that we're making. If we want to be in the presence of God, we need to be thinking about what we're going to do, because God can't be around sin. God is pure. God is sinless, and he doesn't want sin around him. So we need to be doing what we can to be alert to, I don't want to enter into that sort of action. I need to make a choice to remain pure and holy before my God.
These two songs, you can really tell these were written by a theological student, because there's just that real solid evangelical groundedness to it. Some lyrics, particularly in these two, which is never something that I've doubted that Bob and by extension the band believe and adhere to, but never really heard it articulated quite as bluntly. In this one, you know, the line in the line in the chorus is, if you don't bother, gonna pay the price. The previous song, Enter In, has a piece about when we neglect, we think God will look the other way. We do the things we do, but again, someone's life will have to pay. And again, goes on to say Jesus died once for all. There's a real sort. We're really at this point, you can't bring like an accusation of ungodliness to the band when you're espousing scripture the way that Bob is.
I think the good thing is we've really moved past that time period now. It's interesting to look at this song that this song is, the music for this song is Ronnie Cates and Jimmy Cooper.
Hmm.
So there's an element where we've got that those different people bringing some of those elements. And what I really stood out to me is each section of this song is just so different from the others. You know, the verse, they're very unique from each other. All right. The verse has a very different feel to it, as we said. And, you know, the way that the lyrics, again, very quick going, quick moving verse lyrics. Then you get into this chorus and this really strong chorus, you know, hey, did you ever think twice? And, you know, backing vocals just before it comes in, the wait just a minute, and all of the backing vocals are in on that. And then you get again in the coda. Again, it changes its style and feel a little bit different again. So each section of this song is very unique. And I think it has a bit of an impact. It helps impact the lyrics, especially the wait just a minute line, the change of feel out of the chorus, the wait just a minute. It gets your attention, and then you move into the, hey, did you ever think twice? I think the way they've structured that little bit creates an impact for the chorus, for what they're trying to get you to think about with those lyrics. And I think that has a powerful impact.
Yeah, it's good. I was really struck. And at first I thought it was a Keys piece. It was Jim Cooper doing some work. And then when I looked into it, I realized that they actually pulled in a string section for this song. You know, we are accompanied by the Nashville String Machine. Which reinforces my point about it not really fitting in with the spirit of grunge. That's not the dig. Like, Petra was never a grunge a band, so I'm not upset that they're not doing grunge properly, but just that a deeper level of production in the song. Like, we brought in a string section to round out, to amplify, to make this song feel, and I admit this song feels epic. It really, really soars, and it feels like something grand and ponderous.
I'll throw out the question now so we don't have to deal with it later. Is it epic enough to make the top lists, though?
No.
No.
No. Just because it feels epic. No.
All right. That's not a problem.
Now, have you any more to say on Think Twice?
I think we've covered it all.
Okay. Well, into a song that I was kind of tickled to realize this week. I haven't listened to this album for years. I still remember the lyrics to this song. There's something I've always, I as a song in and of itself, just as a standalone, apart from this album, I love Heart of a Hero. I think it's a great, I think this could be a great thing, particularly for young people, to help cement some scripture story. Into them, which, you know, the first verse of this is you're getting a real, real quick breakdown of David versus Goliath and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, really quick, which again is the sign of a master craftsman lyricist who is able to tell the story very briefly in just a few lines to reinforce this point about what God makes of the ordinary people who are his people.
And then, of course, the third verse after the chorus, that's personalizing it. You can do these things. Things are going to attack you, but you can stand out. It's interesting you say that. Certainly a craftsman puts it, but this song itself doesn't have the deep theology that normally comes, and that's because this song was written by Brian Wood from Whiteheart.
Ah.
So Bob Hartman, this is our non-Bob song, our first non-Bob song. So we're going to come back to that in just a moment, because we're going to have to see where this fits on the non-Bob Hartman list. But let's look at the song first before we do that.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy, like, it's not just the lyrics, though. This is this has got a really good, this has got a nice, good guitar riff to get us started. Of course, Brian Wooten's a guitarist as well, so he's written a song that is going to fit that style. There's a real good drum rhythm section to it going as they play, and it just moves it. It's got a nice feel, moves well. I really like the musical coda section. They sort of back off. You get these bass yes. slides, and Louis playing the cymbals. Ronnie is just, oh my goodness! You listen to what Ronnie's doing on this song. It is sensational. I mean, I reckon he probably would have been getting bleeding fingers because his hands were moving so quickly on the bass. And there's a lovely guitar solo in it. So it really all comes together.
It does. This guitar solo, again, something that beat for beat was stuck in my memory. I remembered every section of it. This may be my favorite Bob solo. There's something about it that I just, with the exception of Captured in Time and Space. Sorry, I suppose I need to make that clear. But in terms of a mid-song, there's something to be said for songs that are just, amongst other things, that are just fun. And this one's fun.
Absolutely. And I think that's a key. Like, a good song is a song, like you said, that is memorable, that is easy to remember sometimes. It doesn't, an easy to remember song isn't necessarily a simple song, but it's a song that it captures your imagination, and this song captures it. It musically, that riff goes, like you said, and then the words, like you said, they paint a picture, and then it draws you in, and it really has an impact. So I'm going to turn. Let's have a look at this. The non-Bob list. I'm just bringing up the non-Bob Hartman song list. There's a few songs on this list now, but this one's got to be up there as one of those better rock songs. I mean, how do you compare it to the Greg X. Vols trilogy?
Oh man, I mean, it's that's a hard one.
I feel it's a very similar concept to what you get in Let Everything That Hath Breath.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's doing something a little different in the song, and you know, like, those songs are written as praise and worship songs. Mm. This is a teaching, this is a teaching song. That's actually a hard, hard comparison for me to make there.
Do the guitar riffs take it above a song like Let Everything That Breath or Praise the Lord, which have some strong bits to it, but this riff is much more technically proficient than those songs?
I mean, that's true. I agree with that. Remembering that we don't, like, the trilogy exists as, like, they occupy the one spot. They work better. Yeah. The three of them work best as the medley. Like, that's,
they do.
That's how we love them.
That's so
we can't compare Heart of a Hero to any one of the three. In which I might say, if I was stacking up Heart of a Hero against any one of those three, I probably would say Heart of a Hero would edge out the other song. Put those three together.
But you've got to remember, that's what this song list is. We're not talking about the praise medley itself. That's a different, we'll get to that in a minute. But we're looking at the individual songs. What about a song like Not By Sight or Council of the Holy? How does it compare to them? Because
I definitely put this above Council of the Holy.
Okay, well, they're above Praise You the Lord. So yeah. What about, I'm going to go out. I'm not sure we'll jump this one, but let me throw it out there. God Gave Rock and Roll to You.
No.
Okay. In the Likeness of You. Very different feel here.
Very different feel. I'd probably say yeah. I think I'm saying yeah.
All right. So it comes in as the sixth best non-Bob Hartman song. And that's going to make it interesting because let's I'm going to jump to our John Schlitt list. And I'm just going to have a look at what we've got in here. How do you compare this to a song like You Are My Rock or All the King's Horses?
I think I'm probably sitting this probably above both.
Hit you where you live.
I don't know if I'm going above Hit You Where You Live.
Okay. That's cool. So, and we'll cover these lists a bit more in detail later on. So anyway, let's get back to the songs because it's you know, we're talking a lot here sometimes. I think sometimes, you know, I don't think 1,000 words could ever begin to say how much we think this band is so amazing. More than 1,000 words would be needed.
Possibly.
But definitely more than 1,000 words cannot begin to talk about what God has done for us.
Yeah, well, look, simple words will never quite express, David. This feels like taking a real, like really suddenly hitting the brakes when you've been like,
yeah,
jamming down the road and you nearly miss your turn off on the highway and you just jam it. I will be frank in that this is a song that doesn't particularly work for me. I won't rag on it a whole lot.
I made a note that I feel this song is carried by the lyrics. And when I think when you're noting the song is carried by the lyrics, I think that says a little bit about what is being put together in terms of how it's being played and what the music construction of it is. Because I feel that the lyrics to this song are quite lovely, more than 1,000 words. The words aren't enough to express what I feel. And I mean, it's almost like a little bit of a love song to God. You know, you've got that feeling we're painting this picture, and it paints a picture. I mean, the picture's hanging on the wall, but that we're painting a picture of what we feel for God, but it really is the lyrics that carry this song.
Yeah, I agree. Like, the lyrics are the whole point. Now, I've always found it interesting when, like, a song, particularly in the Christian context, a song uses lyrics to make a point about how words are kind of inadequate. I remember The Heart of Worship being just the biggest song in the world for a while, and I was always a little bit like, man, we're using a song to talk about how singing's not enough and we all think this song is the best ever. In terms of more than 1,000 words, it's a kind of mellow pop rock that just doesn't really fly for me. It seems a little bit at odds with the tone that they'd set in the first few songs of the album. This feels like hearkening back to something like going back as far as On Fire. Almost. I'm not a fan of you know, whatever the sound they've got, you know, that Jim Cooper's got going on with his keyboards in this one. And it just drags a bit for me.
Yeah, look, like I said, I really don't have much more to add. It does. I think, like you said, we've got a song that's saying we can't have enough words. But there's a heck of a lot of words in this song, and it certainly makes it sort of a very interesting contrast. It's a band song that I do like the backing vocals in the chorus, the oohs and the ahs and the atmosphere that's created. The chorus has a very simple feel to it. More than a thousand words won't say, more than my life will not repay, more than a thousand things I do won't make it up to you. It's a nice simple chorus supported with some nice backing vocals. But yeah, it is like I said, carried by the lyrics and that a sort of this doesn't quite hit the mark, like you said.
What I will say is this, and this is more in a album construction kind of an album construction kind of point, but it is hitting the breaks in the album to better set the stage for the title track, which follows up now. And I think that's a good thing. I think hitting the breaks to go straight into No Doubt would have been like, I don't want anything to hurt the listening of No Doubt, because
yes,
No Doubt is a song that I have always really loved. I was a little surprised, but those of you who might remember hearing us on Stephen Wildman's show, Stephen Wildman, when they brought us on and gave us our first wonderful surprise, interview with Bob Hartman on their show, and talking about songs, particular songs that held a special place in their heart. This was Bob's pick.
Yes.
This was the one that he highlighted as, well, it's this one. Because of the amount of times he's had someone come to him to say, that song, man, it touched me and it spoke to me at a time when I needed it to. And for me, this song sits right alongside More Power to Ya as that kind of a, hold on, man, like, I know it's rough right now, but hold on, man, because it's not going to stay this way. And you've got a God that loves you, and he's right here. This is a song that brings me to tears. I'm not ashamed to admit that.
Yeah. I got to agree with it. This is a song that has helped me a few times. This is a song that I've listened to in some tough times and just remember God is there. No matter what's going on, he's going to make a work out. And there have been tough times. We've shared tough times. We've individually journeyed on tough times. But this is a song, and I think the lyrics of this are more impactful than More Power to You. And that's not taking away from More Power to You, because we'll get to this in a minute, because that's a big time song. But for me, even right at the start, there are times when you feel like you can't go on. I mean, you feel like giving in. How many of us, honestly, listeners, how many of us have sat there and gone, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I don't know if I can do life. I don't know if I can do my faith walk. Everything is getting too much. I don't know if I can keep trusting. And this song goes on that this test won't last forever. You move through it, but God's always there with you. And then it takes it to the next step. Sometimes we've got to take a leap of faith. Sometimes we don't feel like anything's changing, but just take that step. Trust that God's there. Trust that he's at work. And, give it over to him. And then the coda, there will be winters in the seasons of our soul. Wow. That, with a cold and bitter wind that chills our life, but our faith can be building a fire. That's just such an amazing line. This song is just so powerful.
Yeah.
And to top it off, they keep it simple musically. A nice keyboard intro. They all come in on the chorus, but not overpowering everyone. Some really lovely acoustic guitar in there. Bob uses the acoustic very well. Some nice pads from Jim Cooper. they create a choral feel with the vocals in the chorus. It never goes overboard. And then in the coda, there's a little bit of electric guitar, but it is just crafted so well. This is a great song.
It is. I love, as a, you know, like a musical, a songwriting device, even the use of pause, of space in it, the break from in that first chorus, you know, the test of your faith will last as long as it takes to pass. Till you have no more doubt, you'll endure. Your faith will emerge true and pure. And there's a beat. We just hold for a second, think about that. And then we're all back in, boom, no doubt. And yeah, it is an uplifting song.
So how great is it? We've already mentioned, I'm going to use it as a starting point. You mentioned before More Power to You. You've already created a comparison with More Power to You. Is this song better than More Power to You?
I mean, not for me. More Power to You for me, like it is, like personally, is one that means so much. But like, yeah, that's the kind of, that's like asking me to choose which is my favorite of the two dogs, Dave. Like I think
structurally and lyrically and musically, this song is a little bit better than More Power to You. I think that it has a little bit more depth to it. Not take away from More Power to You. We're talking about a song that's in the top 25.
Hmm.
How about this to I Am Available?
I would easily put this ahead of I Am Available.
Okay, First Love.
I would put this ahead of First Love.
All right, we're moving up the list here. Prayer. I put it above Prayer.
That's the.
Here we go. Here's the challenge one. I'm gonna put it right here. I'm gonna ask you right now. How does this compare to Love?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm putting it above Love. That's a tall order.
All right. Between Love and Prayer is Underground.
I'd put it above Underground.
All right. So there we go. It comes in at under Love, which puts it at 19 on the top 25. That is a massive, massive hit. That's our first major impact on the top 25 in a while. So there you go.
Yeah.
No Doubt in the top 25, not just hovering, in the top 25. And I'll play with the other list in a minute. But that's a massive move.
Well, I got to tell you, Dave, I do feel it's in the right place.
Are you in the right place, though?
Actually, always in the right place, Dave.
I love the way they have put this album together. I always loved looking at the journey of the album. We've entered into God's presence. We've recognized that we need to think about how we're acting. Okay, it's sort of, we get a bit of a, you know, God, you're amazing, but then we've got this. No Doubt, God is with you at all times. You can trust in that. The interesting thing is when you do that, you are going to enter into the right place for God to impact and do things in your life. You come under his covering. You come under that blessing. You come under his blood, and he is going to do things in your life. I really think this is a great follow-up song to No Doubt.
It is. And again, like this is the strongest link on this album in terms of thematically linking two songs. And I do love that switch of once you get through the brokenness and the turmoil and the despair of the times of trial in your life, you can, even in the midst of it, start to see it differently and start to recognize the blessing. And how many times do you hear people talk about their experiences of hitting rock bottom but then say, man, and that's when things got good, you know, because that's where I met God. And like the recognition, this is where we start to go. This song feels frantic.
Like, oh, that was my moves. First thing. It is moving.
This is the closest they come to actually doing grunge on this album, I think. Because the way that John's singing, and who I think, because there are other vocalists who are chasing him, even in the verses here. But it's a little messy. It's a little friendly. It's a little bit punk. Like, we're not after like hitting the notes anymore. We're just trying to race through this song as quick as we can and have a blast. There's some of that feeling and element to it.
But it is so good put together, because the riff, the guitar riff, is fantastic. It is fast and technical. It is really good. Louis Weaver is shining on the drums. He's setting a pace and a rhythm that go. And this is, you listen to Louis on the, you listen to Ronnie on this one, and he's at like playing a mile a minute as well. I mean, they're really doing some good stuff musically in this song.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, I've always found the refrain, the little bridge a little puzzling. It lyrically, it feels like it should be in the next song. But that little speed bump aside, this song is a wild ride.
How does this song compare to Heart of a Hero? Where do you sit though?
I probably feel Heart of a Hero is a superior song. Speaking for me,
I don't think this song is like, when you hear this, I don't think it sits in on a song like, you know, You Are My Rock. There's a real power to that. Even a song like, you know, The Water Is Alive. You know, you get some songs in there this just has such a different feel to it, and it races and it just moves so quickly.
It does, and this is where we're going to start to talk about where the album doesn't quite sit with me. Folks, if you're getting that, we're getting a thunderstorm up my way, so I apologize for any impact on the audio.
It's probably moved up from our area. It was here just before we started.
Well, at the end of the day, I don't come to Petra for this kind of a song, for this kind of music. Now, Petra is able to dip into some slightly different genre and to do some different things stylistically. And they've proven they can do that and make it work over the years. And that's about staying true to a core of something about who they are as a band and the kind of music that they want to do as a band. This feels like a song that is very much an experiment. Hey, what if we try giving this kind of thing?
See what happens. Let's see what happens.
You know what? All credit to them for doing it, and they do it well. But it's not what I come to Petra for. And I think that's why this is where in this album I start to go like, this thing isn't really going to come together as a Petra experience for me. So now that's subjective, and I'm open to criticism on that point. But to bring it right back around, what they are doing in this song, they're doing it well. It's a blast.
Yeah, no, it is. It's fantastic. I think it really. It's moving, it's pumping. What they're doing individually as musicians is just next level in this song. But whether it comes together to make something memorable is a different story. Everyone, this is almost, it's that difference. I think when you compare the couple of songs, you've got a song that you know, the sum of the parts is better than the individuals themselves. In this song, it feels like every individual is doing something really, really good, but when you put it together, it doesn't quite come together.
Yeah, yeah. And that's punk, that's grunge. So, you know, they did, if they set out to sampling that genre, they got there. You know, how much that sticks is another matter entirely.
Yeah. All right.
We can't spend all that time focusing on this one song. Two are better than one.
It's an interesting come down after the previous song. It really, it's got a strong intro, but it's certainly I got a different feel to it.
It does. It really does. We're still up, you know, it's still upbeat. Although, again, comparing it to Right Place, it feels positively mellow.
Louis and Ronnie are really putting in some massive performances on this album, because what they do in this song is really good. And another thing that really stands out to me on this song is, this is the first song that we really get the guitar layering happening again. We haven't heard it much on this album, but it's been very straight guitar work from Bob. But in this song, you really start to get the layers, the Bob doing rhythm and a lead over the top of that, and a little bit more over the top, you know, in between. So really get some layering into this song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, this is a song that falls between cracks for me a bit. It doesn't really have a big impact. I don't think this stands up as one of their all-timers. It's, you know, I feel about this the way I felt like a lot of Back to the Street.
Yeah.
It's there. I can't deny that it's Petra. It's there. It's good because it's Petra, but I would rather listen to other songs. And I recognize how dismissive that sounds, and I don't really mean it to be. It's an interesting. I was an interesting passage to build messages or songs on. Yeah, and an interesting choice for a group like Petra. You know, I don't know if they're making a marriage comment or just a friendship comment. But it's one of the few songs they do that's focused on the sort of peer-to-peer, focused on within community in amongst God's people. This isn't God speaking to, you know, his child or someone reaching out to God. This is a brother speaking to a brother or a sister speaking to a sister.
Yeah. Yeah. The brother, sister in Christ, we're there for each other. We're there to support each other. I need you. This is a song about not walking alone. And I think this is when you, like I talk about the journey, when you position yourself under God and you're in the right place under God, you're not going to be able to stay there without getting yourself hooked into community. And community of believers is so important. And that's what this song is, I believe, really putting out there, is the need to be linked to the community of believers, have the support of each other, have the support to get through the times. And, you know, and that's what I think is such a vital thing. I think it's another part of the journey of this album.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think I agree with you on that one. Is anything musically about it that grabs you?
Well, like I said, there's some really good guitar layers. The bass is amazing. What Louis is doing is really solid as well. Like they're putting in some solid stuff, but it's got that different feel to it. It's a little more vibrant without racing.
Hmm. Yeah, it's not a bad way of putting it. This is something of the pattern of we have seen all along the way with Petra albums, actually, that kind of the midway point of side B are songs that tend to fall a bit under the radar. Don't want to use the word filler, but they're not quite as impacting. There may be like a sense of the band understanding that, which is why they put it in that spot. Let's load the stuff up front that we know is really going to catch on or really going to hook people. I have a similar feeling about Sincerely Yours.
We're really dropping down another level again. I'm talking about music style. Yeah, because we dropped down into a semi-mellow. It's not a full-on mellow song, but it's a semi-mellow. There's some nice acoustic in this song. There's some really nice acoustic sounds in this song. The keys get a little bit of a highlight later on in the instrumental. The key, Jimmy Cooper's keyboard, really probably the first song that they get. It gets its significant, prominent feature in a song. It's been really guitar focused for most of the album, and here's a song that you get that keyboard highlight, which I think is good. It gives a bit of variance, but it's certainly just taking that step back a little bit, just a little bit of a different feel. But I guess when you look at the nature of the lyrics, this is coming back into that heart thing. I'm offering myself to you, God. I'm giving myself over. I'm sincere. Like the sincerity of it, I think if you had this song with a rockier feel, it would feel out of place with the lyrics.
Yeah, I totally agree. But I always have, I've mentioned before, there are some songs that Petra does that I feel are a little overly sentimental in their construction somewhere. And this is one that's a bit like that. It's a classic starting point for, lyrically, to sort of take a well-known phrase and sort of spin that in a different way to be the basis of a lyric, rather than signing off a correspondence, Sincerely Yours, it's making it a pledge. It's a little... I feel like a crumb saying it. It's a little sappy. But then again, this is someone who's saying, Jesus, I want to offer my whole life to you. I know I mess it up, but I really want to make you the most important. And I want to follow. Couldn't we all be this sappy? Couldn't we all do better if we could be this genuine?
And I think there's an element where we've got to remember that as believers, as Christians, this really needs to be our heart attitude. Like, a song can be sappy, but it's actually getting into almost the absolute crux of the faith journey with God. We enter in, we have a belief in God, we come to a point that no matter what, we trust God's there, but you can trust God's there and still want to live your life your way. Sincerely Yours is about, I want to surrender everything to you. And that's the heart attitude we should have. So it might you use the term a little bit sappy, but at the same time, this needs to be the hard attitude that we all share. And I think that's part of the point of what, you know, that where Bob's coming from is he wants us to remember that we've got to, you know, Christian life is about surrendering to God, surrendering our heart, our values, our desires, surrendering them to God and letting the kingdom desires and the kingdom heart take control.
We spin out from that one into another, which what I feel is a very, you know, we talked about Southern Rock before, very solidly in that kind of area. Think on these things. Again, just we are just straight up lifting Bible verses and making them the you know the titles of our songs now, which I have absolutely no problem with. He's put a lot of craft into the lyrics of this one, actually. Think on these things. Feels
another powerful message. I mean, like yes. You said, he's really putting this. This is about our thought process. Our thought process is absolutely vital. We need to be thinking on the things of God, taking the right stuff in. It's a next level. It's an evolution, because if we go back to Beat the System, we had computer brains. That was garbage in, garbage out. This is taking it to the absolutely next level. This is think on whatever is pure, whatever is holy, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is excellent and praiseworthy. Think on those things straight out of Philippians. And it really is about being alert to it and wanting it to flow through you. It's a real powerful message.
Yeah, I completely agree. And what I will say, it's a song where I feel like lyrics and music match perfectly. This is the perfect feel, the perfect kind of mood for the song that they're singing. For the lyrics that they're singing. It's another that I almost feel like take it out of the album. And I can hold it independently as a really engaging song, and particularly the lyrics really grab me and embed in somewhere. As a part of this album and as kind of as a part of Petra as a whole, it's something that again just isn't quite connecting in the place where that I want it to be.
Yeah, look, I mean it'd be interesting if this song had been done at another time or maybe on another album. I wonder what we would have felt if it had come in on an album that, you know, was being produced a little bit differently. Might have created slightly different sound and been something that we'd be sitting here going, man, I think this song has a lot of potential. This song had the potential to be something bigger and better than what it was. And that's not saying it's bad, but you know, it's not quite that super impactful drop you to your knees sort of thing. Yet it possibly could have been.
Are you thinking that there's something about this song that harkens back to an older era of the band?
Possibly. Yeah, I'm wondering if that might be the case. Yeah, maybe. And it might have had a bit more impact if it had a different feel behind it.
A different singer, perhaps?
Possibly.
I haven't thought about that until you've mentioned that. But I think it could be something to that. Just something suited to a different lineup, perhaps.
Maybe.
Well, we're in the home stretch now. The last couple on the album. Now, and I'm going to feel like a bit of a hypocrite. I'm probably going to sound like a little bit of a hypocrite here because I just got through a moment ago talking about my a bit of a general mistrust of sentimentality. This song works for me. For All Your Worth hits me in the feels in a really, really big way. And I have a reading of this song and its lyrics that I'm not sure are necessarily what was intended. But there's a reason why it particularly hits me. But before I get into that, Dave, like where do you sit with this one?
I quite enjoyed this song. I think it has some real powerful bits to it. There's just the lyrics. The lyrics are creating an atmosphere, but I really love just as they go into that second verse, the "by this time" and everyone comes in and they come in really solid. The keyboards are really getting a good chance to shine early on. Ronnie's bass is getting a chance to shine. There's some really nice backing vocals in this song that...
Oh, they kill me. They slay me.
Absolutely, absolutely awesome. And it's really interesting. There's a real... And what I think what I like, it's got a real complex verse structure to it and this simple chorus, but it doesn't feel unbalanced. It like sometimes you hear something like that and it feels a little unbalanced. This one doesn't. And the verse sounds like there's an urgency to it, an urgency in trying to get your attention. You need to hear this. You need to hear this. Pay attention. And then, you know, then you get to that chorus. Hold on to life. I think it builds itself and creates a great tension. I'm not sure tension is the word I'm looking for, but it builds and it's that urgency of you need to listen because when you do, you're going to hear a message that is really relevant.
I can't remember the song that we've used this before, but I've said there was a song. I remember it was John Schlitt, and we used the word pleading. The tone, everything about it is pleading to the listener, and that's what's happening here. And the call is very clearly I'm speaking primarily to a believer, going through hard time, and. You know, like the reading, like Jesus is life. Jesus is the meaning. Hold on to him. He loves you. Don't think that he's, you know, forgotten you in the midst of what you're going through. I wonder, like my reading of these lyrics is that it's an appeal to people who are at the variant at the precipice, about to make that final tragic choice, because they can't go on anymore. And which is, as someone who is familiar with that headspace, that's what gets me here is that, and again, just knowing the truth to that, the truth of what in those moments, like, and it's an incredible opening verse line. By this time, you know the story. There's nothing that you haven't heard. And this is, again, it's the songwriter and John Schlitt, the singer, saying, I'm not going to bother being clever with lyrics. I'm not trying to teach you anything. You know, knowledge isn't going to help right now. you need to change what you are feeling. Well, you need to change. What needs to change is what you are feeling. And right now you are feeling worthless. Right now you are feeling that this is the end. Well, you know, the one who loves you couldn't feel more differently. And that the pleading is hold on, the pleading to hold on to life, hold on to Jesus. It's really beautiful. I think, you know, this, hearkening back way, way back, this feels like a companion piece to For Annie.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
But where I had the issue, the mild unsettledness with For Annie about the sentimentality the storytelling of it, this is one where I don't have that because it just feels a very earnest and direct plea to, you know, this could have been, I don't know, mate, this sounds like he could have written this for someone he knew.
Possibly. I mean, this is what he writes in the More Power To You devotional. Psychologists talk about things like low self-esteem and negative self-image. These conditions result when we don't see ourselves the way God sees us. He has a perfect plan for every one of us, and he's preparing a place for us to dwell with him throughout eternity. If that doesn't raise your spirits, I don't know what will.
Mm.
What you were sharing about what you weren't sure what Bob was trying to get at when he was writing this song is exactly what you were getting out of it. Is that was the call, that's the heart, that's the drive, is to reach those people and say, hey, the worth is there and God is there, and it really brings that on. And it's interesting because we've talked about a couple of songs that didn't quite hit it, and this song just goes bang. It's right there.
Yeah, it's knocks right it there. Out of the park, I think.
So how there is it? How there is it? Well, how does it compare to? I always bring it back to similar songs in similar positions. So a song like Prayer or Just Reach Out, how does it compare to those two?
See, this is one I feel really self-conscious about, like, because it's a personally, I hold it so highly and so dearly. I don't know that it. I guess if I were to tackle Just Reach Out, I would make the argument that I would say I would want to put it ahead of Just Reach Out.
Yeah, I could do that because I would argue that I think it's better than Prayer.
You think it's better than Prayer? I mean, Prayer's a pretty, pretty masterfully crafted song.
But I think, this might be that comparison point, because Prayer is that heart cry, that crying out to God. This is the pleading to the people to hear the heart of God for them. I think this is a very, it might be around this spot. Maybe it could sit under Prayer, but I think it's around this sort of spot.
Personally, I might be right. I think I would put it above Prayer. I think I could put it ahead of Prayer on the list.
Okay. That hits pretty high. It hits very, very high, because I'm just looking at the John Schlitt list and discovering that it absolutely blasts up into the top 25 songs overall, which probably would have, I think, at the beginning of when we were doing this, preparing for this album, I wouldn't have thought anything other than No Doubt would hit.
Yeah. I hadn't considered this song in that regard either.
All right, I'm going to ask it because it's the next song above it, because we're in there. How does this compare to Underground?
I'd put it above Underground.
Okay.
I know our I know our brother Ron Rockstar is probably shaking his head at me on that, about making that statement. And I'm sorry, Ron. That's a very personal thing.
All right. So this is the, how do you compare it to No Doubt? I don't think it beats No Doubt.
No, probably not.
It sits right under it though. We've ended up ranking it right under No Doubt. Right
next to each other.
Right next to each other, which I would have been completely, I'm completely shocked by that.
Well, there we go. After quite a gap there, and it's No Doubt is the album that Caesar is. I'm a little surprised.
So,
we've got one more song to talk about.
Yeah, we've got a bonus. We've got a bonus track. We've got a bonus 11th song on our album.
Yes. Okay. We hold our hearts out to you. I'm going to straight up, Dave. It's a worship song. This is a song for the congregation to sing.
Yeah. And they're treated by it. They're all in at the beginning. They're keeping it simple, acoustic, but they all come in. We don't have one of these guitar riffs that build it up. I mean, this is just, boom, we're all in together. And they keep it simple and it flows and it's full. And it really does. It really does say, let's come together and we're offering ourselves to you, God.
Yeah, I mean, I've got not a huge amount more to it. It's a little more, you know, it's a little more complex than the stuff that they did on The Rock Cries Out. So it wouldn't necessarily just slot easily into any old church service, but it is certainly meant it is meant to be something that is sung with a chorus of people, something that is sung in unison. There's a simplicity to, you know, the melody, so that it's not at all difficult to pick up and join in on the fly. It's nice. Again, it's not really quite what I... Like, if I want that from Petra, I'll listen to The Rock Cries Out. I'm not expecting it off their grunge-tinted 95 album.
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting because this is actually written by John and Dino. Bob's not involved in the writing of this song, where the different feel. Not at all. Bob had nothing to do with this one. So probably why we've got that different feel and that different thought. If anything, this song lends itself a little bit to there's a song on John Schlitt's Unfit for Swine album that I absolutely love, and it's a song called We Worship You. And we're not covering John Schlitt's albums yet, but this has a very similar sort of that, like you said, it's not exactly a worship song, but it's got a worship song feel, and it could be congregationally sung, but it's not as easy to sing as the normal praise and worship song.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's what I think.
But it is a John and Dino song. And so I've got to ask, where does it sit when we're talking about non-Bob songs? We had a non-Bob song earlier, Heart of a Hero. Above or below that?
Heart of a Hero
set very high up.
Yeah, I don't know that it's getting very high on the non-Bob list.
How do you compare it to a song like Praying Man off our last album?
I feel like, we're in fairly close territory there. I might edge it above Praying Man myself.
Okay. I don't think I'd put it above the next song, because the next song is Without Him We Can Do Nothing.
Yep, nope.
So there we go. So it slots in there. It's coming in at number 13 on the non-Bob list.
All right.
But that's not good. That's that's not going to break into the John Schlitt list, and it's definitely not going to break into the top 25.
No, that's all right. Still,
but there we go. It's an interesting album overall. We come to the end of it. We've got this really strong start. We break for a second. We have one all-timer, one really strong song that's not an all-timer. Then we come on this massive down, and then we come straight up. It's a bit of a roller coaster.
It really is. I think my reflection on it, you know, I guess this is where we part. Yeah, we got some differences in this one. I can see thematic links between songs. You know, certainly Enter In and Think Twice. I can see the link, and I can see an element of you going from there to a place where, all right, we're going to worship God and we're going to think about our position before God. But I don't think the journey of the album actually flows terribly well. Things don't connect as smoothly and as naturally as their albums generally have tended to do this point, where there's been a very, very easy ride. This one's got real sudden turns and sudden changes that, you know, two songs that just feel like they don't quite fit together, like next to each other, in a few places. And you know, that, yeah, I think that in combined with some differences in the production, the album as a whole has a more pop feel to it than a lot of what they've done in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just, it's, you know, I think what I wanted was another Beyond Belief, and I didn't get another Beyond Belief. But you know,
yeah. You know, how does it stack up? But how does it stack up? Because I said at the beginning, and I'm willing to acknowledge that I think my opinion has changed a little bit. But I said at the beginning, this may have been the best album since Beyond Belief. How does it compare? Because Unseen Power and Wake Up Call. So again, they were trying to do things differently here. We've got three albums in a row where they've tried to do. Had a very different feel. You got me?
Yep.
Yeah. What was the last thing you heard from me?
Three albums that try to do things differently.
Yeah. Unseen Power was a clear change of direction, sound-wise, and what they were trying to produce. Wake Up Call tried to get back a little bit to what they preferred to do, but with the new producer, it became very keyboard-heavy and very and minimized the guitars, and the sound was, yeah, we were very critical of that. Here, they're trying to change their style a little bit, but it feels like they're getting back to while was driving and real strong guitar riffs. And I mean, as I said, musically, this is Ronnie Cates' best album, in my opinion. What he's doing individually is brilliant. This is probably Louis Weaver's best album since This Means War, in terms of what he's doing on the drums individually. And this is probably Bob's best album since Beyond Belief. So as an individual musician performance, we're seeing some really good stuff. We've already noted on the album, it doesn't all come together to do the song. So where I'm coming to is, how does this album compare to albums like Unseen Power and Wake Up Call? It's a difference. They're trying something different. It doesn't quite get what they're trying to get. How do you feel compared to those two albums?
So this is a tough one. And I think I'm in the camp where I say, for the issues that I had with Unseen Power and with Wake Up Call, those albums had a consistency within themselves. They were, you know, for better or for worse, they were an album that held together as its own thing. And you can sit that like they've done albums better or they've done albums worse. And I'm very much a person who, like, a lot of how I regard an album is about that sense of how it works as a whole piece, not just a collection of songs that get thrown together. And I'm not saying that that's what they did, for No Doubt. I know there's more thought that goes into it than that. But for me, what I will say is when No Doubt hits its heights, those heights are higher than we've seen since Beyond Belief, absolutely. It's got a bunch of really great points. But it feels to me like a collection of songs that were kind of pulled in from all different directions and they tried to make it work as an album and it doesn't quite hang together.
So how would you compare it then to Back to the Street? Because that's an album where, I mean, it was John's first arrival, but that was where they were really still, that sound contrast was still not quite there.
I think I would put it above Back to the Street because there's stuff on this that I find much more notable and much more grabbing. Mm. Having said that, I feel I have been feeling like Back to the Street needs to get another look in from me at some time in the future. So,
well, I think when we get to the end of this journey, we're probably going to come back and just reflect. We might do we might have to do an episode where we come back and reflect on these lists that we've built and give it all a second look and see where we feel things may actually sit. And see if hindsight creates a different feel in the moment. But No Doubt slotting in above Back to the Street and below Unseen Power ranks it at 5, 10, 11, number 12. Number 12 on the album ranking list.
That's not bad.
It's above Back to the Street, Come and Join Us, Petra and Beat the System. So, you know, and again, we're not talking about a bad album. I mean, these are good. I mean, it's just below Never Say Die. And here's Unseen Power and Never, they're just below Never Say Die. And I think one thing we noted about Never Say Die, I remember it quite strongly. The first five songs on that album were unbelievable, were awesome.
Mm.
And then the back end of the album, there was a massive drop off. And then it almost feels like, a little bit what we've got here. We've got four or five songs that are really, really good. I mean, we've got two all-time songs on this album, but the not as good is definitely not as good.
Yeah.
And there's a big mark difference. And I think where it's ended up ranking is probably a fair reflection of that.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with you on that one, Dave. Hmm.
So that's where it sits. It comes in at number 12 for those of you. Well, it's been a while since we've done it, but I'm not going to go through them all, but look, our top five albums at the moment are number one is Beyond Belief, number two, This Means War, Captured in Time and Space at three, More Power to You at four, and Petra Praise at five. As I said, we've had two massive arrivals because we've had two songs break into our top overall playlist, No Doubt and For All You're Worth, slotting in at numbers 19 and 20 on the playlist at the moment as it stands. So there's some good stuff. So just going over our top five songs, number five is Judas Kiss. Number four is the live version of It Is Finished. Number three is the live version of Grave Robber. Number two is Beyond Belief, and number one is I'm on the Rock. So, you know, there we go. It'd be very interesting to see if we see much change moving forward, because as we mentioned before, we're in the third stage of the band and we're about to embark on a very interesting journey over the next couple of albums. We're going to see some ongoing changes, some ongoing differences, some more stylistic changes with the band. And I think it's going to be a very interesting journey, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how the band develops with Bob no longer on the road. As we shared earlier, Bob is the guitarist for the recording of our next album. And after that, we're going to get some marked changes. And we'll get more into that as we move forward. But, you know, I have no doubt that everyone has enjoyed this journey. We've loved you. We've loved a lot of the feedback we've been getting from you. And Lindsay, if people want to connect with us, if people want to know what's going on, how can they reach out?
Well, you can find On Rock, A Petrospective on Facebook. We are a Facebook page, and we've loved, primarily that's where we engage with you all. And we love every time you share. If you want to drop us a line in an email, you can send it to wemeanrock@gmail.com. Eventually, we will respond to you. I'm not always the fastest at that. Please have some grace. We do have full-time commitments apart from this, but we will get around to answering.
I just want to thank, there's a couple of guys out there that have sent through some really amazing designs of logos for this podcast. And you're going to see a couple more of those popping up on the Facebook page and stuff like that in the coming weeks. But we want to thank you guys who've enjoyed this journey so much that you've become a part of it by wanting to contribute. And we really appreciate that. We appreciate everyone's feedback and the messages that we get, stories that we hear of people when they were going to concerts and their memories of getting the albums. Drop us a line. We'd love to hear, what did No Doubt mean to you? What do you remember about when No Doubt came out? What do you remember about hearing about Bob Hartman moving on? One story, I didn't share this at the beginning, but I've got to share this because this is the one thing that's locked in my mind and I do not know, and I know it's not true, but I remember somehow, some way, when I first found out that Bob Hartman was not going to be a part of Petra anymore, even though we knew he was, and David Litchens came in, I have this distinct memory of reading an article that suggested that David Litchens had done work with Bon Jovi before coming to Petra. Now, I have never been able to, since the dawn of the internet and the dawn of Wiki and all that sort of stuff, I've never been able to, I've seen nothing that would ever substantiate that. So I don't know where and how that ever got into my head or what I read. Maybe it was a suggestion that he played a style like that. I don't know what I read or how that came about, but I have that distinct memory in my head of this is who David Litchens was. But we never get to hear David Litchens on a recording.
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything at the beginning because I didn't want to talk out of turn, but I remember you telling me that. And yeah, only difference is I remember it as being Van Halen, but
no, it wasn't Van Halen.
That just shows how weird our memories are, Dave. I think, yeah, we love doing this with you guys. We love hearing from you. We're looking forward to engaging again. Thanks for letting us have a little break. But thanks.
And we promise it's not going to be 2 months before the next one drops.
No.
Promise you guys.
We're back in the saddles now. So as always.
And the next step on the journey, as we just said, the next step on the journey is we're going back into worship.
Yeah.
We're going back into worship. It'd be very interesting to see how this next album, Petra Praise 2, compares to the original one. They're very, very different in the style of album that they put together.
Very different. That's right. Well, we hope that you will join us then for that journey. But until you do, guys, this has been On Rock, A Petrospective. And I'm Lindsay Moore.
And I'm Dave Moore.
with baby. Welcome.